Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Have you ever noticed just how honest children can be? Oh yes, they can be brutally honest at times. One time a children's choir was visiting in a nursing home, and one senior adult lady had caught the attention of a little girl in the choir, and she began to make eye contact with her, and the little girl was just enamored with this senior adult lady. So when they finished singing, she walked over to her, and the little girl said, "How old are you?" The little senior adult lady kind of straightened up in her chair, and she said, "I'm 95 and a half." You know, you use those half years as you get on up there, don't you? The little girl's eyes widened, and she said, "Did you start at one?" Seems like an impossible task. Well, all of our senior adults in this church started at age one, and they have spent their entire life serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his book, Strengthening His Grip, Charles Swindoll writes about aging. Swindoll says, "I get up each morning and brush off my wits, pick up the paper and read the obits. If my name is not listed, I know I'm not dead. So I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed." But in reality, senior adults are very, very busy people, and they serve in so many ways in our congregation. You know, we laugh and we joke about aging and the aging process, but the truth of the matter is that we are all very grateful to be alive and have the opportunity of serving Christ. And yet at the same time in our lives, we face difficulties. Oh, perhaps there's a difficult situation in your life dealing with a relationship. Maybe there's a difficult situation that deals with an addiction. Or perhaps there's a difficult situation that deals with a financial crisis. In our scripture passage today, the children of Israel find themselves dealing with a difficult situation. And that is in the conquest of the land of Canaan. They're in the process. It's been a long process, and they're making progress, but they have not arrived yet. So would you find that worksheet that is in your order of worship today? And would you complete that first statement? Identify your Canaan. Would you identify your Canaan? What is the obstacle before you today? Is there a certain task or a particular goal or some difficulty that you're dealing with in your life and you're facing that? Do you feel like a mountain climber and you're just digging in with your fingers and your toes for all that you're worth and trying to hang on with everything that you have? What is your Canaan? Would you take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 14. We pick up here with the fact that the children of Israel had made their way into the land of Canaan, but they haven't conquered all of the land yet, and yet, as an act of faith, they're beginning to divide that land up. And so in Joshua chapter 14, beginning with verse 6, we find these words. "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But with the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for the reading of your word and the truth therein. Lord, we pray that during this time together this morning that we would look deeply into your word and make application of your word to our lives. Father, I ask that you would just get me out of the way and hide me behind this cross this morning. And may my words become your words, and may change occur in the lives of individuals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Bible passage today picks up in the middle of a divine drama. It's a drama that has been going on for some 45 years after the children of Israel have left Egypt and Moses has led them across the wilderness and they've made their way to Kadesh Barnea, and something happens. The people turn around. God is infuriated with them because they don't follow his word. And so using his holy GPS system, he leads them around in circles for 40 years in the wilderness. But where our passage picks up today, they have now made it into the land of Canaan. And yet they still have obstacles ahead of them. They still have a way to go before Canaan is conquered. It hasn't been completed yet. So the first truth that we encounter in this passage of Scripture is that claiming your Canaan requires courage. Claiming your Canaan requires courage. I want you just to use your imagination and visualize the scene that is taking place here before us in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua has called all of the tribal leaders together, and they're discussing the progress that they've made on conquering the land. And perhaps they have some kind of a makeshift map before them. And they're talking about the areas that they've yet to conquer. And then they begin to divide that map up like pieces of a puzzle. They're showing a tremendous amount of faith here. That giant of a senior adult, Caleb, steps forward. And it's almost as if he interrupts the conversation here in the scripture. And he says, Joshua, I want to just remind you, of a conversation that we had together some 45 years ago. And Caleb begins to reiterate what they had gone through. You remember the story, don't you? That fact that God had led the Israelites to the very bank of the Jordan River. Moses sent out those 12 spies to check out the land. Joshua and Caleb are two of those spies that make that trip. However, 10 of their buddies come back with a majority report in saying, there is no way we can conquer this land. There are many people there They're giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. They have walled, fortified cities. They're armored. They're ready for us. It is impossible. We are like grasshoppers. But Caleb says, no, we can do this. He shows a tremendous amount of courage in this situation. Look on your outline again at Numbers 13:30. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. He shows a tremendous amount of courage in that situation. Caleb says, we're not grasshoppers to them. They are grasshoppers to us. Joshua and Caleb show a tremendous amount of courage and a tremendous amount of faith in that passage. The Apostle Paul admonished us to be a people of courage and faith. In Romans 8:37, he said that we are to be more than conquerors, more than conquerors, to have faith, to have courage. Faith is an interesting word. When you walked into this room today and you sat down in that pew, you exhibited faith. You had faith in that pew that it would hold you up. No one stopped, looked at it, backed up, and wondered if it might hold you. You rested on the pew. Faith is a verb. It's not something you have, it's something you do. One of my religion professors in college said that faith is the whole person response to the coming of God in Christ Jesus. You rest entirely upon Him and His being and His promises, just as you rested entirely upon that pew. Let me ask you this. In your life, have you ever felt like a grasshopper? That's what these guys said in the biblical account here. Why, these people are huge. They're giants. We feel like grasshoppers. But let me remind you, friends, that when you feel like a grasshopper, it's because you're looking through grasshopper eyes. That's exactly what these people were doing at this time. And yet Joshua and Caleb understood. They had the ability to look at things from God's perspective. They realized the difference between success and failure. They realized the difference between courage and fear. They looked at things from God's perspective. You know, we're fascinated today by video footage from drones that fly. We see those things on the internet or in other areas, maybe on television and such, and you watch the drone as it takes off and with the camera on it, and you begin to get a different perspective of what is down below. Maybe it's a particular area that you're very familiar with, and yet when you see it from this different perspective, when you see it from above, it looks totally different. When you see things from God's perspective, they are totally different. You see, the huge giants that the 10 spies were seeing became very, very small when they were viewed from God's perspective. So to claim your Canaan requires courage. Secondly, in this passage of Scripture, we see that claiming your Canaan requires consistency. It requires consistency. Now, each time that we encounter Caleb in the Scripture, we see him as an example of consistency. There are 6 different occasions in the Old Testament where he is mentioned, and every time he is mentioned as a person who wholeheartedly follows the Lord. Every time. He's a wonderful example. He wholly follows the Lord. I can only imagine in my imagination that somewhere buried in the land of Canaan today, there's a tombstone with Caleb's name on it. And on that tombstone, it is inscribed, he wholly followed the Lord. He's a wonderful example for each of us. Is consistency important today? Absolutely. We have to have consistency in our life. One time I was taking our senior adults on a tour and we toured this factory. And so the tour guide was talking about the factory with us, and so I asked him, how many people work here? And the guy shot back immediately, about 20%. Of course, he was just kidding, but it was pretty sharp, I thought. So I had to rephrase my question. How many people are employed here? There's a little difference between the number that work and the number employed. Jay Wolf says to us, 80% of success is just showing up. I mean, could you imagine someone that showed up at work only 20% of the time and they received a promotion? It doesn't work that way out in the world. Nor does it work that way from a spiritual standpoint as well. Caleb was a man of consistency in his life. By the way, the name Caleb means dog. It's not a very nice thing to say about somebody, dog. But you see, he really wasn't a descendant of Jacob. He was a descendant of Esau. And somewhere along the way, Caleb's family had been adopted into the children of Israel. And when we pick up in this passage here in Joshua, we see him as the actual leader of the tribe of Judah. Another translation of his name means follows God like a dog. Now I like that, follows God like a dog, just as a dog would follow his master. So Caleb follows God in every way. He is a man of consistency, continually following his master. The Apostle Paul admonished each and every one of us to be consistent in our lives. Look with me on your outline at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul writes, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now notice that Paul does not say in this passage, these 10 things I do. He doesn't say these 5 things I do. Rather, he says, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward toward that prize that is out there before me, that goal that God has for me heavenward in Christ Jesus. By the way, that little phrase, press on, literally means hot pursuit. Paul is in hot pursuit of that prize. Now, I never hear or use that phrase without thinking of the old television show, The Dukes of Hazzard. You remember that, don't you? Some of you may not admit it, but you remember it. Where Roscoe P. Coltrane would be on his CB radio in hot pursuit of the Duke boys, who would name their child Luke Duke. The Apostle Paul says that he is in hot pursuit of one thing, and that is the goal that Christ has out for him. Paul is standing on the truth of God's word, and he's saying, I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. And my friends, those are wonderful truths for us to apply to our lives as well. Not only Paul, but the author of the book of Hebrews admonished us to run that race with endurance. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he says to fix your eyes upon Jesus and to run with all your might toward him. It's a race of endurance. It's a race of persistence. It is a race of consistency. So to claim our Canaan, we must have courage. We must have consistency. And the third truth that we see here is that claiming our Canaan requires commitment. It requires commitment. Caleb understood the biblical principle that you can never be too old to serve. Now, our senior adults here at First Baptist prove that day in and day out. And as I said earlier, they make an eternal and an earthly difference here through the ministries of our church and serving in so many ways. But look with me on your outline at Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. Caleb states, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time that he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old." Wow. Happy birthday, Caleb. He understood that you couldn't be too old to serve. He understood well. Not only that, but in the next verse, Caleb makes a very bold statement. He says that I'm just as strong and vigorous today at age 85 as I was when I was age 40. Now, we may want to say, well, you know, is Caleb embellishing this a little bit? I mean, is he really as strong at age 85 as he was at age 40? Is he really as vigorous to go out to war? I mean, human nature is to look at yourself that way, right? I mean, you don't think about yourself aging. I was thinking about that this week, and so in my office, I looked around and I found the student directory from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, Jay, from 1980. We called it the funny book. And I thought, you know, I haven't aged, and so I flipped over here to find myself. And I thought, no, I haven't aged a bit. In fact, I started to wear that leisure suit this morning. And then I turned over a few pages and I found this guy. Now, I asked Jay at 8:30 if his mother knew his hair was that long. Oh, yes, we have aged. In fact, this morning, I got up and I went into the bathroom and I washed my face in the sink and I looked at my reflection in the mirror and I said, oh, hello, Dad. We change. But you see, my friends, when we start doubting Caleb's word right here, we need to read on in the scripture because it appears that God has worked miraculously in his life. Because if you read on, you'll discover that he does everything that he says he would do. Every bit of it. He follows God wholeheartedly. He is just as strong as he's ever been. You see, for Caleb, God not only preserved the promise for the man, he preserved the man for the promise. Now, claiming your Canaan may take years to complete. That's difficult sometimes for us to accept because we live in this instant gratification society, don't we? It may take years to complete. But Caleb understood that you couldn't be too old to serve. Not only that, but the scriptures teach that you can't be too young to serve. Paul admonished Timothy to not allow anyone to simply look down upon him because he was young. Many of you know Pat Stewart in our congregation. Pat has been a member of this church for a long time. Her husband, Alvin, was the minister of education here for many years. Pat has spent her life serving in our preschool area. And if you've been through the preschool area or if you've had children in our preschool area, you know Pat Stewart. Pat recently had a birthday. And so our preschool leadership decided that it would be a wonderful opportunity to say thank you to Miss Pat. And so our teachers encouraged the little children to make birthday cards for Miss Pat. 2 weeks ago, I was over visiting her at John Knox. And I said, Pat, you recently had a birthday, right? And she said, oh, yes, and let me tell you what the preschoolers did. And she began to pour out her heart and share with me about all the little cards that she had received from the preschoolers. And she said this, I treasure every card and I love every child. Oh, you can't be too old to serve. You can't be too young to serve. Claiming your Canaan may take a lifetime of commitment. The bookends of success, as we stated in the video this morning, deal with commitment and consistency. Without commitment, you'll never start. Without consistency, you'll never finish. So let me give you some little practical ideas on claiming your Canaan this morning. You see, first of all, start small. Just take some small steps toward that particular goal. There is power in starting. Take the first step. Secondly, start with yourself and your relationship with the Lord. Third, start early. Start early. Claiming your Canaan may be hard work, but someone has defined hard work as being an accumulation of the easy things that you didn't do when you should have. And lastly, start now. Start now. What are you waiting for? You see, we are guilty of procrastination in our lives, and we say, well, when I finish school, when I get married, when I have kids, when the kids leave home, when I retire, when I die. You see, my friends, if you wait long enough, you'll have one regret: that you didn't start at all. In the book, In His Image, Dr. Paul Brand writes about his missionary mother. He shares the story of her giving her life in India and serving the Lord. At the age of 75, his mother walked from village to share the love of Jesus with other people. One day, she was on a remote road by herself. She tripped, fell, and broke her hip. She was lying beside the road for 2 whole days before someone found her. Can you imagine that? Some workers found her. They prepared a makeshift cot, lifted her up, put her onto their jeep, and they traveled across these rutted, bumpy roads for 150 miles to get her to a doctor. Unfortunately, because of the time that had transpired and all that she had been through, they were unable to repair her hip properly. And so she could no longer stand or walk. Brand tells the story of going into his mother's mud-covered hut there in India, and he says, "Mom, you can't stand. You can't walk. Maybe it's time to retire." She said, "What value is that? If we preserve this body for a few more years, what value is that if that body is not sharing the love of Jesus Christ with other people?" And so she did not retire. She rode a donkey until she was 93 years old, but she couldn't do that anymore. She fell off, but that didn't stop her either. After that point, villagers carried her in a hammock from one village to another to share the love of Jesus Christ until she died at age 95. No, you can't be too old to serve. You can't be too young to serve. You see, Jesus said it this way: "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well." And so you see, my friends, here is the application point today. When you wholly follow God, you can conquer your Canaan. Would you pray with me, please? Father, you specialize in lifting up the weak and overcoming the difficulties that we face in our life. And we say thank you, Jesus, for that. No doubt in a group this large today, someone in this room has heard your voice in a very special way. Oh, they see that goal out before them, or they see that difficulty that stands between them and reaching that goal. Lord, I pray specifically for that person, that soul today, that you would work in their life, and that you would give each of us the courage of Caleb to wholly follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.